Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Talk around the DMV and beyond, as I am glad to welcome my listening audience to another great edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio Show and Podcast, presented right here by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. You all are in for a wonderful show after a brief hiatus, as we are going to rugby and celebrating Team USA, as I welcome in USA Rugby head coach Gary Gold. Yes, and that's what we want them to do, get the gold, bring back the win, and we will all be so excited. So you know what that means? It's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag listenin with KNN, and as well as hashtag LIWKNN. Stay tuned, as we've got a great show. I'll take you to our Duke Awards, and then it'll be time for our very special guest. Stay tuned.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
It's now time for my Kelsey's Do Good Award segment, where I am honored to honor athletes giving back in the community. As we all know, it's important and vital to never forget where you come from. And today I'm honoring none other than the Houston Rockets' very own James Harden, who gave $240,000 through his foundation to the city of Houston to renovate basketball courts in underserved communities. James Harden, you are so much more than just a beard. You are a man that we love and need, and that is vital. Kids today need a place to let go of their energy, a safe place, a safe haven. And as many of us know, basketball courts have done that for us, so we've got to give back to the next generation and really just keep kids active and have them having a place to go after school. James Harden, congratulations on earning honors as my Kelsey's Do Good Athlete of the Week. We'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with our special guest, Mr. Gary Gold. Stay tuned for more.
Looking for winning sports picks and predictions? Since 1971, Dog Sports has been recognized as one of the most trusted names in the sports handicapping industry. For the listeners of this very show, Dog Sports is giving out $60 worth of their premium member picks for free. These are the exact same premium member picks that 1,000 of their current members pay for. And guess what? You get them for free. Just text the word radio to the number 29022. Text radio to the number 29022 for instant access. Doc Sports also provides free picks on every single game. You want NBA picks? Simply Google search Doc's NBA picks. NHL picks? Google search Doc's NHL picks. Need MLB picks? Google search Doc's MLB picks. Remember to text the word radio to the number 29022 and start winning today with Doc Sports Service.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It is now my honor and privilege to welcome on our very special guest, USA Rugby head coach Gary Gold. Gary, how are you today?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Yes, it's a pleasure. So excited to have you. As everyone knows, we are counting down to the Rugby World Cup, and with Gary, we're hoping you guys will, of course, win the whole thing. But before we get any further to the show, Gary, can you tell the listening audience a little bit about your background and how you got being USA Rugby's head coach?
I've been a professional rugby coach for 20 years now. Coached in my home country of South Africa, coached in the UK for 10 years, and then a couple of years in Japan as well. So I've coached in a couple of countries, and then in 2008 I was I was coaching the national team of South Africa when we went to the last World Cup in 2011, and since then took on an international job in the UK, and done a couple of different various jobs in Super Rugby and Japanese Top League, and then a couple of years ago I was approached to find out if I'd be interested in coming to the States, which was a prospect that was very exciting, and you know, something that I'm very very privileged to do, but it's been a fantastic decision, and I've loved every minute of it.
Wonderful. So it's safe to say, Coach, that rugby seems like it's in your blood, and that is the natural fit for you.
Pretty much started playing when I was about 8 years old. So yeah, it's pretty much been in my life my whole life.
Nice, wonderful. Well, we're glad to have you as coach. And Gary, USA's much-awaited forthcoming 2019 Rugby World Cup campaign in Japan will begin on September 26th in what we believe is a mouth-watering Pool C showdown against Eddie Jones of England, currently ranked fourth in the world. Can you talk about USA Rugby's kind of intense preparation and training leading up to the 2019 Rugby World Cup next month? And of course, can you kind of describe the expectations and pressures surrounding the team, especially after USA's triumphant glory at both the 2017 and 2018 America's Rugby Championship?
Yeah, we've been in camp on and off for about 10 weeks now. We assembled in Colorado about 10 weeks ago, and then had a very intense training session down in Colorado Springs for about 8 weeks, which is incorporating a lot of strength and conditioning, getting our fitness levels to the levels of what they call tier one teams, which is the top teams in the world. It was the first time the USA were able to congregate as a team for this period of time, so we really wanted to make full advantage of that. And I think we've, you know, as a coaching staff and as a group and with our strength and conditioning group, we've really put the guys through their paces at very high altitudes, obviously down in Colorado Springs, and very hot temperatures, which is replicating what we're going to face when we get to Japan in September. So that's gone along with in conjunction with a competition we played in called the PNC, the Pacific Nations Cup, where we played Canada here in the States. And we then went down to Fiji and played two games there against Japan, and we played against Samoa. And, you know, they were very, very good tests for us. It was good to get a bit of rugby at the end of a long period of time. Guys had about 10 days off, and then we've regathered here now for another couple of weeks before we play Canada again and head off to Japan. So it's been a very, very intense period of time, and the guys have worked extraordinarily hard. But I think it's paying dividends. I think, you know, in terms of what you spoke about with the expectations, I think people are realistic in as much as that, you know, we're still a young rugby nation, not necessarily in years, but in experience of professionalism. I mean, we haven't necessarily, in fact, last year was the first year ever that the Eagles have been able to assemble a group of players who every single one of the players that we selected in camp is actually playing the game professionally. I mean, in all the years before that, you know, large percentages of the group, you know, nearly 70% of the group, those guys had normal day-to-day jobs, you know, and you then coming up against some of the best teams in the world who train day in and day out for years and years, and these guys are on massively big contracts and are, you know, fully professional, and you're playing against guys who are potentially accountants or bankers or, you know, fitters and turners during the day, and then having to do a couple of hour training session in the evening. So that's something that we've tried to change, but, you know, it's going to take a long time. So I feel that the expectations are that, you know, hopefully we're going to be a lot better and a lot more competitive than we have been in the years gone by. But I don't think that there's unexpected expectations on this group. You know, I definitely don't want to put the guys under unnecessary pressure. Our only real task is that, you know, we want to make, you know, the USA rugby fans really proud of us. You know, you can clearly see when a team is giving 100% of themselves. And we do that for 100% of the time of while we're at Rugby World Cup. And then I'll be really proud of the guys. You know, I mean, we play against teams that on paper we know are better than us. But, you know, we're just not going to lie down. We're not going to roll over. You know, we want to give them a really, really tough run for their money. And,
right.
You know,
no, that's wonderful. And hearing that, let me tell you, as a fan, it makes me feel even more excited about the upcoming games and rooting you guys on to hopefully what will be victory. And now I kind of want to break down the competition more. So USA's 2019 Rugby World Cup pool includes England, France, Argentina, and Tonga, at this moment.
Okay.
So Gary, just continuing, and let's get into the competition. USA's 2019 Rugby World Cup pool includes England, France, Argentina, and Tonga. At this moment in time, let's say, England, of course, is ranked fourth in the world, France 8th, Argentina 11th, and Tonga 15th, and the USA 15th in the world. But saying that to say, can you share your candid overall thoughts on the opponents within Pool C of the 2019 Rugby World Cup?
Kelsey, I mean, that, as you mentioned right now, I mean, three of those four teams are top 10 teams in the world. You know, England have won the Rugby World Cup before. France have been in a handful of finals, and Argentina are a massively improved team over the last couple of years since they started participating in the Rugby Championship. So we're realistic in terms of the quality of the team we're playing against. But, you know, we're also quietly confident that, you know, we hope we can go there and, you know, shock a few people. And as I was saying earlier, and I think we got cut off when I said it, you know, it's important for us that, you know, our fans see that we're massively committed to the game, you know, that we can go toe-to-toe with these teams and, you know, that we put them under extraordinary amount of pressure. I mean, we're going to go in there as underdogs, you know, and then, you know, you never really know when something like that happens. Somebody gets a little bit complacent and they take their eye off the ball a little bit, and hopefully we're going to be there to take advantage of that. So we just, you know, we focused really, really hard over the last couple of weeks on our own game and what we think we're good at, and just going in there and doing that to the best of our ability. But you asked about a candid feedback. We know that they're very, very good teams. You know, on paper, we probably shouldn't win, but the game's not played on paper. It's played on the field, and hopefully we're going to go and give them a good run for their money. So we're excited. Mm-hmm. We're really excited. We want to just get there and hopefully, you know, leave a bit of a legacy for the young fans of the game and the people who follow USA Rugby and the people who love the game so much as we do.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And hearing what you're saying, Coach, I'm hearing that you guys are going to control what you can control, and that's what you've been practicing and how you've been moving forward. And let's kind of take it back a bit. 4 years ago at the 2015 Rugby World Cup in England, USA unfortunately finished at the bottom of Pool B, which included South Africa, Scotland, Japan, and Samoa. But can you touch on kind of the ongoing growth of rugby in the United States since then?
Well, I mean, it's grown dramatically. I mean, the advent of the MLR has been a game changer for us. As I mentioned to you earlier, I mean, that's the reason why so many more of our players have been able to get small professional contracts. Now, it's not necessarily the fact that they, you know, that the money's big enough for them to necessarily go and retire just yet. But what it has done is it's allowed our guys to be in a professional environment day in and day out. You know, train properly, gym properly, eat properly. Get a repetition of their, you know, their skill set that they need to do if they are going to compete on the international stage. And we just didn't have that opportunity in the years gone by. You know, leading into 2015, almost everybody in that squad, with the exception of a few guys who might have been playing in Europe, weren't playing rugby full time. You know, and you know, at the end of the day, that's just always going to be put you on the back foot. So what's happened in the last 2 years with the MLR is that all our guys have been contracted. And as I say, you know, I mean, we've seen a marked improvement already. Now, whether that's going to be enough of an improvement for us to win a couple of games in Rugby World Cup, I don't know yet. I mean, realistically, we've still got a way to go. But I must say the improvement in the players and the game with the Major League Rugby advent last year has been absolutely fantastic for us. And as a coaching group now, we've been able to communicate with the players while they are at their clubs. They understand what fitness levels are like. They understand what the needs are from a skill set point of view. And I'm really hoping that it's just going to take USA Rugby from strength to strength over the next couple of years. And I think as well, what it's going to do is going to put some of our better players, you know, in the spotlight, and hopefully for them as well, be able to pick up a couple of really big contracts in the countries that are paying big money, like the Frances and the Englands of the world. So it's growing really well at the moment, and we're on an upward curve, and we need to just take full advantage of that.
Yeah, and just saying that, I mean, as rugby continues to grow within the States, I think we'll continue to have a pipeline of players and a talent pool, of course, that you can, of course, pick from. Now, the United States has qualified for every single Rugby World Cup in history except the 1995 Rugby World Cup in South Africa, which indeed was won by the host and indeed your, of course, beloved home country. However, I'm curious to ask you, what are the long-term plans for USA Rugby at major tournaments such as the Rugby World Cup?
Well, you asked about expectations earlier, you know, for this Rugby World Cup. And I think, to be brutally honest with you, I think the expectations for the following World Cups are going to be completely different. I do think, as I mentioned earlier, with the advent of the MLR and professionalism and, you know, the time and energy and money that's being put into the game here in the USA, that is going to raise expectations for the next big competition, which is in 2023 in France. And, you know, we're all aware of that, and as a group, we strategically bought into that. You know, we've got a headline sponsor in Ernst & Young, EY, and one of the really, really clever strategic alliances that we did with them was that they're going to help us, or they are in the process of helping us, build a strategic plan going forward that's going to deal with exactly what you mentioned, and that is the pipeline of our players and the pathway, and ensuring that, you know, we've got enough young kids at high school and then moving into college or moving into young professional clubs into the academies, you know, that we've got a handle on those guys, that we're able to track them, and that the player pool from what we're picking from at the moment, which is probably around about 80 guys in the country that I could probably pick and say are good enough to play international rugby, that we need that pool to grow into the thousands. You know, if we've got if we've got strength and depth per position down to 10 per player, and every single one of them are good enough to play international rugby, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. There's no doubt about that. And so I think the expectations moving forward are that there is a plan that's been put into place. You know, Ross Young, our CEO, has been instrumental in running that. We know exactly what that looks like in the next 4 years and what steps need to be taken. So going forward, you know, and the idea and the plan is that, you know, the expectations are going to be there, that we are going to have to show dramatic enough improvement that we are contenders in Rugby World Cups to come. Maybe not necessarily to win them in the next 4 to 8 years, but certainly to get into the playoffs and be in quarterfinals or semifinals contention. No doubt about that.
Okay, no, this is promising. This is exciting for everyone in the United States who is a fan of the game. And just going back to talking about tournaments and the World Games, can you talk more about the recent 2019 World Rugby Pacifics Nations Cup and your overall assessment of the performances at the tournament after finishing third overall?
Yeah, I suppose when you look at it and you see that we finished third overall, you might not necessarily think that that's a successful competition, but for us it was very, very successful. I mean, for a number of reasons. We had a very clear plan in what we wanted to do with those three games. We had a group of nearly 40 players in camp, and all of those 40 players, we had decided before the competition that we wanted to give them game time whilst so we could see them in order to make a decision about what the final 31 squad will be like, which we'll be announcing in a couple of weeks' time. So we had a good strategy from that point of view. We started off really well by giving Canada having a really good result against them. And then going down to Fiji and beating Samoa, which meant that we played Japan in the final, so as to speak. And we came up short against that game. But, you know, as I said earlier, we had already planned to make quite a number of changes. So to be fair to the players, I mean, there was quite a lot of chopping and changing in terms of selection. And I feel that, you know, from our point of view, we really achieved what we wanted to achieve, which is to get to see all the players. And we knew that that was going to mess around with the cohesion of the group. And I feel that, you know, that we showed enough that I felt if we had kept the group together, we would really have run Japan close and possibly even have won the game. So from our point of view and a planning point of view, and obviously the most important thing for us from a selfish point of view is that we came away with no major injuries. So we were really happy. We looked at it as part of our Rugby World Cup planning, as part of the preparation. And, you know, we strategically looked at it that way, and I'm really happy with how the competition went, and, you know, that we got out of it what we needed to get out of it. So it was really good and encouraging to see that we are competitive. And against a team like Japan, who are, I think, sitting ninth or eighth in the world at the moment, you know, we went toe-to-toe with them for 80 minutes. So really happy with that. And, I mean, it bodes well going forward.
And this is great to hear, you know, just the crucial and real feedback that you're giving on the team's performance, and not to dwell on past performances, but to get the questions out for our rugby fans. Also, earlier this year at the 2019 America's Rugby Championship, USA Rugby finished third behind Argentina and Uruguay. However, what positives, Coach, do you have regarding the overall performance did you take from that tournament moving forward?
Yeah, the ARC earlier this year was a very good learning curve for us. I can't give you the same answer that I gave you around the PNC. There, we weren't satisfied with that. I mean, that was a very disappointing performance from our point of view. And I think what we learned, and a lot of professional rugby teams go through this, and possibly you need to learn these harsh lessons to never make those mistakes again. But, you know, we had played really, really well in 2018. We went through the ARC competition unbeaten and ended up winning it quite comfortably, beating Uruguay in Uruguay by 50, 60 points. And I think the complacency set into the group. And obviously, that's my responsibility. I take full responsibility for that. But it was disappointing because we started off so well in the competition. We had to go down to Chile to play them. We won handsomely and then flew across to Argentina. They gave us a real run for our money and gave us a proper hiding. And unfortunately, I think, you know, that put us on the back foot, and we were caught napping a little bit. And then a terrible slip up in Seattle against Uruguay. We did well to come back against Canada a week later and win that last game. But I think it just shows that there's no room in any sport for complacency. And whether it's conscious or subconscious, I think it just shows, and particularly in the game of rugby, because rugby is such a unique sport where so many different sizes and speeds of players, we've got so many different positions that cater for so many different kinds of athletes. And you know, when those are the context of a sport, then anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And we saw that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we were a better team than Uruguay, but we got beaten on the day, you know. And the positives that we can take out of it is what you and I were chatting about a little bit earlier about going into the right. Rugby World Cup. You know, if a team like Uruguay, who, to be fair to them, and they deserve all the credit, they came out, their mindset was in a very good space. They took the game to us, they put us under pressure, and we didn't handle the pressure very well, you know. And the encouraging thing from that is that, you know we can play that kind of a game as well. And when we come up against an England or France or Argentina or Tonga, you know, hopefully we'll learn the lesson that anybody can beat anybody on the day. So from my point of view, I'm using, you know, the adversity of the ARC from this year, which wasn't good enough by our standards. I think we were really poor, and we reflected well on it. We were honest with each other about how disappointing we were, not only on the field, but I think from a mindset point of view, we took our foot off the gas a little bit, and that wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's going to teach us that we're never going to be complacent again.
Well said, Coach. Well said. And now let's talk about the team. Can you talk about USA Rugby captain and fullback, Blaine Scully, and particularly with regards to your professional understanding and qualities which you think he brings to the table?
You know, look, Blaine is one of the guys in the group that has been lucky enough to have experienced top-level rugby from a professional point of view. I mean, he played for the top club in the UK with Leicester Tigers for a number of years and then moved to a very, very good club called Cardiff in Wales. And so he's one of our players that we really rely on heavily because of his vast experience of the game at the highest level. And it gives you a lot of confidence to know that you're going into a Rugby World Cup with players like him and Joe Taufetti and AJ McGinty, and the list goes on of the number of players who have played the game at the highest level. But Blaine is really a unique character. I mean, he's mm-hmm. a natural born leader. He leads in his actions on and off the field. He sets an unbelievable example for the players. He's a genuinely true professional. And if he was an American footballer, basketball player, or as he is a rugby mm-hmm. player, I think any coach would be proud of him and to see what a fantastic professional he is. He's a brilliant mm-hmm. leader of men as well. The guys really mm-hmm. respect him. You know, he's not a massive talker. He's more of a doer. But when he does talk, I know the guys listen to him. And, you know, it's a milestone coming up for him next weekend when we play Canada. If Blaine gets selected, he's going to win his 50th Test cap. So, you know, I'm delighted mm-hmm. for him that he's got the credit and the adulation that he deserves, because he's had a wonderful career and he's been a magnificent servant to USA Rugby.
That's wonderful, Coach, to hear. And Coach, just hearing you talk about Blaine, I'm curious, if someone asked you to describe the identity of the team that you have currently, how would you describe their identity?
Courageous. Unbelievably courageous. Mm-hmm. I think this is a fantastically courageous bunch of men. I think issues around, you know, there's 20 teams going to this Rugby World Cup, you know, 15 of them are going to be high-class teams, very, very good mm-hmm. rugby teams. And we have to find something that differentiates us from somebody else, you know. And yeah. and if we're candid and right now, we may not, you know, man for man, be as good as the number one team that's going to the Rugby World Cup from a skills point of view and experience point of view. But I mean, there's no reasons why, you know, from a work ethic point of view and from a courageous point of view in terms of how hard we are prepared to work for each other, that we can't match any team in the world. And again, I said it to you earlier, you know, if we lose a rugby game, we want to lose because we lost to a team that's better than us. And then they deserve the credit for that. If they play better than us on the day, then they deserve to win. But then we mustn't lose a rugby game because, you know, we haven't fought every single step of the way during the course of the game, and we haven't showed a huge amount of courage. And I think that's the one thing that I'm hugely proud of this group of guys, is that, you know, some of the stuff we've put them through at the moment now is some of the toughest stuff I've ever been involved with any team. And, you know, our guys don't flinch. You know, they're just courageous, and they go from one step to the next, because I think they genuinely, genuinely are hungry for success. And I think as a group, you know, they made a commitment that, you know, they want to leave a legacy. They want to, you know, they want to put USA in the spotlight that, you know, all the young players, men and women, who are playing the game at the moment, can look up to this team and see that, you know, they're able to achieve things. And, you know, our Sevens counterparts have done that. You know, Mike Friday and his team played in the World Series this year and were the leading team in the world right until the second last competition, and ended up being the second best team in the world. So they're gold medal contenders at the next year's Olympics. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a real big deal. So we just want to try and match that from a 15s point of view. Whilst it's not an Olympic sport, we do want to go to the Rugby World Cup and really put our hands up.
That is great to hear. And obviously you need courage in a sport like rugby. And Coach, as we begin to wrap the interview up, I'm really curious for you to describe kind of the art of man management and your professional coaching style that you've used to experience success with this team. How would you describe your coaching style, Coach?
I would like to believe that it's inclusive. I really care about the players and their opinions. At the end of the day, I think coaching is probably one of the misunderstood professions in the world. I think that the average man in the street or the average fan thinks that, you know, a good coach can make any team win, you know, and vice versa. And I don't necessarily think that's always the case. At the end of the day, this game belongs to the players. You know, they've got to play the game, and they're the ones who've got to perform, and they're the ones who deserve the credit at the end of the day when they do perform. So I think, you know, I would like to hope that I'm inclusive. I'm interested in what their opinions are. We want to formulate plans together. We want to buy into strategies together. We want to have a philosophy where we can all buy into it and live by it together. And their opinion in those matters are important, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are going to have to live it, and they're going to have to perform in the field. You know, the coaches are, we're too old already to do that. So we were long past it. So
right.
I mean, that's what I love about this group. I really do. They're very, very, they're very open to the inclusivity. They offer fantastic opinions. And, you know, the more you can just hopefully create an environment where they feel we give them the very best chance to be the best that they can be, then that's all, then I'm happy, and then it's up to them, and, you know, they must go do what they want to do. So I hope that's certainly what the goal is. I hope we're achieving it. And but I think by and large, you know, we've created a good environment here for the players, and I really hope that they feel every morning they wake up, you know, that they can get better every single day because of the environment we've created. So and they've, yeah, to give them massive credit, that they're the ones who've come up with those standards. So it's exciting times.
Yeah, it's inspiring to hear, Coach. And last but not least, Gary, can you share your thoughts on former England rugby union star Christian Wade and his recent transition and success to the NFL with the Buffalo Bills? Do you kind of feel that we will witness more rugby stars making their transition to the NFL gridiron?
I think so. I really do. Christian has just been absolutely phenomenal. I know he went on one of those NFL rookie camps that started at the beginning of the year, and where they really try and transform the player from rugby union into the football way. And I mean, he's just a massively skilled individual. And, you know, I know of another player. I actually coached him when I was in England, a guy called Christian Scotland Williamson. And he's at the Steelers. He's at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he went the same route. And He was a fantastically dynamic rugby player, but he's playing tight end now for them, I believe. And you know, the rugby players are athletic. I think the transition from rugby into football is a much easier transition than for the footballers to transition into rugby. And I think for guys particularly who are very, very explosive in whatever they do, whether it's explosive in the tackle, whether it's explosive in their speed or their footwork like Christian Wade has got, I think there's a place in NFL for them. So I do think you are going to find a lot more players are exploring that avenue. I don't know enough about NFL to understand how hard it is to transition, but you know, I think from a collision rate point of view, and I think interestingly enough for the toll on the body, NFL is going to be very appealing to a lot of rugby players. So I do think you're going to see the transition, and I think you're going to see a lot of top scouts of the NFL teams are going to be looking for rugby players. I think they're going to be looking for rugby players with a very specific skill set. I think not all rugby players are going to be able to make the transition, but the ones like Christian Wade as wide receivers are going to be they're going to be lethal.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting to keep an eye on, especially as youth football participation goes down in the United States. I think football is going to have to look for other sources to get their pipeline of players, kind of like we discussed before. So it'll be definitely something interesting to keep an eye on. Coach, thank you so much for your time and for joining us. I've had a blast having you on.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me. It's been brilliant to chat to you guys. And yeah, hopefully we'll chat again soon after the Rugby World Cup.
Yes. Good luck, Coach.
Thanks for your time. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly matter to me. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Until later this week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play. Thanks for listening.